Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Now, what is true of a vessel of honor? What is true of a vessel that will be perhaps had to be broken and shaped again into another vessel?
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about the potter's house. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2004. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the potter's house.
Sometimes God takes his men to places not to preach, but to learn. And in this case, God took Jeremiah to the potter's house, not to preach a sermon, but to observe and get a sermon. Jeremiah was in the midnight hour of Judah, 40 years without one single grateful response. This is where Jeremiah's situation was, and God took Jeremiah during this time, took him over. He said, Jeremiah, come, and I want you to watch. And a lesson here, when if you want to know God's mind, you better meet God's appointments. And Jeremiah goes down in verse 1 of chapter 18, and the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. He was receiving a message, not giving one. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in mine hands, O house of Israel. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up and to pull it down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I have thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build, to plant it. And if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Jeremiah was living in a very discouraging time and went to learn what God was showing him regarding the nation of Judah. Now the picture here, Israel is the clay. God is the potter. And God, the master potter, has his sovereign way over the affairs of this nation and giving the challenge to these people what was coming if they continued on their way as they went through their life. And yet we get profound lessons from the most simple thing. That's why I think in preaching we need to pick what is current and what would be understandable. And one of the most understandable things in that era was the potter's house, to go and understand the very simple thing of the formation of these clay vessels, of what would be a lesson for them. And I just have taken some things. Number one, I want to look at the clay, representing, in that case, the clay was representing the nation that was about to be carried into captivity. The midnight hour of Judah after the messages had been rejected. And we saw a similar thing when we preached on Habakkuk at this midnight hour, when finally the word of God was being destroyed by arrogant kings and the message of God was being rejected. And the appeal from God was saying, if you repent, I will turn from what I intend to do. And yet we see ourselves in this parallel, the clay. We are the clay. Man was formed in Genesis 2:7 out of the dust of the ground. And I don't want to do too much spiritualizing on this, but I do think if we follow the whole concept of vessel throughout the whole Bible, I looked up a lot of references just on vessel, and it would take too long to get into that. But we can see that God used that analogy many, many times throughout Scripture, both Old and New Testament, to where we see that was an understandable lesson, not only for then, but also for now. We can't do anything of ourselves. But how does that clay get usable that way? Obviously, first of all, it had to be, after it was extracted from the ground, it had to be washed. There was that cleansing process that had to take place, step. And then it had to be one through a sieve, or sieved, however you pronounce it, where you take out now the impurities. After it was extracted and cleansed, now there was a sanctifying process that was going on, running to take out the little things, and then it had to be kneaded. And you know what kneading is? Those of you girls who have helped your mom make bread, you knead the dough. And that could, you could do a lot of puns off that. I tell people I used to work, I told them in the bakery in Northland, I used to work in a bakery. They fired me because they said I was a heel and I loafed around too much. I told them I didn't need your crummy dough, and took a hike. And so there was a washing process of our cleansing, and then there was a sieving, the sanctification process. And then there is the pressures that come to work out the things that would hinder us from becoming a complete vessel. This is what God was showing Israel. That is, I have taken you. You know what it takes for this clay to become a usable vessel. And then it was put on the wheel. So you took this pile of clay and it was put on the wheel. Psalm 31:35, God says, my times, or your times are in my hands. David, in testifying to the Lord, he said, that is, my times, God, are in your hands. And life is like a wheel that is being run by the potter. And sometimes life does get like a dizzy spin. And as I was watching that potter work there in Denver, in Casa Bonita, I was thinking, boy, how like life that is. You get on these spins of life at times. And you think, is this ever going to stop? That process of growth begins. But the shaping process begins. And God had taken his people Israel, and he had chosen them, and he had placed them in life, and he had begun a shaping process. Eventually wanted to picture to the world with the nation of Israel. And yet there was a problem that came. And we get put on the wheel. That process of growth begins. And a good lesson for us, the potter has something different in mind for every vessel. And I like that passage in Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21, where it speaks of the potter having his way over us, the clay. And it says, cannot the potter choose one to honor, one to dishonor? And there are differing gifts. There are different sized blobs, if I might say it. And I don't want to get too applicable here, but God has something different in mind for each of us. But there are different kinds chosen for different functions. And when we get put on the wheel of life, we cannot resist what God has intended for us to become. And we cannot be like someone else. And then that thing has to be centered on the wheel. And I think when we look at the pivotal point of history, Romans 11:36, of him, through him, to him are all things. The center of our lives, so that there is not an odd, awkward, uneven shape that is taking place. And when we look at the pivotal point of history, as we begin this spin of history in life, we look at Christ being the center of that wheel. Paul says, to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And we will become what God intends us to become as we look at what God has in mind. He tells the nation of Israel, you are the clay. I am the potter. Your times are in my hands. I must be the center of your life as you go through life, or there's going to be an odd jug that has to be broken again. And so we went down now in verse 3 of chapter 18. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so that he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? So now he is saying, that is, I was forming you, what I intended you to become, but there was a problem, there was a lump that I kept feeling, and I had to break this and make you again another vessel so I could fulfill the intention that I have in my purpose for you. And he said, I make it again another vessel. Boy, what an encouragement that is when we look at the failures in our own lives. Aren't you glad that when God tries to shape and we begin to resist, and whatever that is in our life that God cannot finish his shaping, and he has to bring us to a breaking point, even if it's through failure, whatever that lump is in our life, that the gracious, merciful God says, I will make you again another vessel. Joel says, I will restore in a year the years the locusts have eaten. Failures are never final as long as the grace of God is operable. And so that lump was the sin that was in Israel. God says, if you will repent of that which I see in your life that is causing me to completely form in you what I intend, if you would repent of that, then I could make you again a usable vessel. And we look at this lump, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. What are we commanded? This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification, that you might be a vessel that is sanctified and meet for the master's use. A failure to respond to the pressure that God puts on us through self-will and through pride is going to bring a breaking that has to come in our lives. And it's not always pleasant when God has to do these things in us. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God will chastise those that are his children. A merciful God will not let you sin and get away with it. Now, if you can sin when there is no conviction, if you can sin and there is no consequence, if you can sin and there is no change, I think you are illegitimate offspring, according to Hebrews 12, and not a genuine child of God. But if you are God's child, God in his love and in his mercy will bring the chastisement that is necessary that he might bring you to a point of change and repentance, that he might complete the work in you for his purpose and glory, because you are his child. And we see that pressure begins to come on our lives. And as God is shaping us, what is he feeling in your life that is saying, I can't complete, I cannot make usable until I bring this vessel again and break it and make it again another vessel? Only you know what it is that God is dealing with in your heart. And there is a opportunity for you to come and say, God, be merciful. It's not dealing with your sin for eternal destiny, because that was forever settled by the propitiation of Christ on the cross. You don't have to worry about eternal destiny. That sin problem is settled once and for all. But the day-to-day living and the day-to-day things that would come in, that according to Hebrews 12 would bring in chastisement to you as a child, if you are going away from his way, he has you on that wheel and he is shaping you. And if need be, he will break you again to bring you back to that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For the glory of God that is inside, these vessels would be filled with treasures of silver and gold. And it would be molded in. And for that treasure that was contained within that vessel would have to be broken. That's why we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That which is contained in us, the Holy Spirit of God, God dwelling in us, can be seen through us if we let that outer shell be broken. That is, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit and let God finish his work in us. Now, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. Timothy was in great discouragement, and others were in great discouragement because false teachers, those who had the intellectual knowledge but did not have a heart for God, were bringing about a great deal of confusion. And they were like a canker, Paul says. Hymenaeus and Philetus, these people who were intellectually coming in and bringing a tremendous amount of confusion to the minds of these people who are wanting to do God's bidding and God's best. And he says in verse 18, who concerning truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past, overthrow the faith of some. Foundation of God standeth sure. And then verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Some of these vessels in the house are vessels of dishonor. And he is referring back to what I think he was addressing in the Corinthian church, those who are defiled within the church. And Paul gives very clear instruction of those who are living with that defilement within the church. He says, separate yourself from these people. Verse 21, purge yourself from these. That is, you be cleansed, this word catharsis, from these. These is referring to those vessels of dishonor. Those who are living in sin, those who are living in disobedience, those who are within the body but are defiled by sin within the body. And he said, in a great house there are vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel. Now he goes back again to the vessel analogy that we saw that God was using with Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 18. Again, the vessel. It was said of Paul, he was a chosen vessel of God. That word vessel there. Now he's speaking of vessels within the body of Christ. And what was being spoken of here? There are some that were vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. He said, you have been prepared unto every good work. Now, what is true of a vessel of honor? What is true of a vessel that will be perhaps had to be broken and shaped again into another vessel? Maybe the defilement was there and the brokenness took place and there was repentance and restoration from dishonor to an honorable vessel. What is true of these according to this passage in Timothy? 9 things were true of a vessel of honor, a vessel that was taking and fulfilling the purpose that God had for them. Number one is they had a cleansed life. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, the word catharsis, there is a cleansing that takes place. And sometimes that cleansing involves you separating yourself from these in referring to those who are living in a life that is defiled. You don't do yourself a favor as a vessel that is desiring to be a vessel of honor by staying with those who are in defilement. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. There is that inner work that is being wrought. And that's what I think that the Thessalonians passage is talking about, where Paul speaks of that cleansing that takes place within the heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, every one of you should know how to possess his what? Vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. There again, the vessel picture is given. Very common thing that they would have understood, just like in Jeremiah's day. It would have been very, very understood. And he said that in the body, there are many vessels, and you are to be sanctified and cleansed for the master's use. And then not only that he is useful to God, prepared unto every good work. And this word prepared is the idea of eagerness, eagerly willing to get unto the work. So a vessel that is a vessel unto honor is clean, is being in the sanctification process and is useful to God, that is, knows what is there and is eager and willing to go and do what God has. And then number four, he is prepared for service. And that is the last part, prepared unto every good work. So there is that preparation work that is done. It is a condition that is already existing within us by the fact that it is a perfect passive used here. That work is done. It's continuing on for service. Then number five, there's a pure heart. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. How can I be a sanctified vessel, usable, a vessel of honor? It has a pure heart. That is, it will not tolerate that which is unholy. We will become sensitive to that which grieves God. And then it has a discerning mind, verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. What is a honorable vessel like? He has a discerning mind. He does not get involved in nonsense discussions that go nowhere, but they just gender strifes. And he has a gentle manner. The servant of the Lord, in verse 24, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Paul is describing the honorable vessel, a gentle manner. And then verse 25, he has a humble spirit, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, he has a humble spirit and has a compassionate attitude that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Paul is saying, Timothy, you be a vessel of honor. May the people within that body be vessels of honor. And these things will be characteristic of them. And they will grieve over those who are destroying themselves. But you go in humbleness and meekness and in gentleness, in a compassionate manner. Perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so there is the vessel that is marred in the potter's hands. And the progress was stopped. The lump had to be removed. The breaking had to take place. And you know, God will use many circumstances in our life to bring a breaking into our lives. People have never experienced times where they had literally had to cry out unto God. Really know little of this. And as you go through life, there are things going to come in your life that the only way you're going to survive is for you to cling to the truth and keep your focus Godward. And only God can take an ugly blob and shape it into the perfect vessel. One more process has to take place. And what is that? The fire. It has to be put in the furnace. But only God can do it. Needs to be done to make you totally usable. We can give you tools to make you hireable, but I think only God can do what you need to make you usable. And that is what we dread, the furnace, the fire. What does ceramic mean? It comes from the word keramos, which means burnt substance. So a ceramic is picturing that which is fired, that which is burnt. 1 Peter chapter 1. In fact, let's look there. We come to a closure. Let's switch back to 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't want you to miss this, because God was preparing these believers who are heading into the fire to be prepared and not caught by surprise. that their faith would be tried. And we had better look in the United States of America is what is coming, because I believe coming our way would be fiery trials that will test the very core of our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Wherefore ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the shaping takes place, but then the fiery trials will bring us to usability. You know what? When we go through the fire, we'll never be the same again, either for the good or the bad. And then that finished vessel is usable after the fire. You can take this vessel now that had been perfectly shaped and formed. It's no longer a big blob that would get you all full of clay when you tried to take a drink. It now has been changed. The basic element has changed. It'll never return back to what it was, but now it has a glow and a gloss, and becomes then a usable vessel. And that may mean at times tremendous testing and trials. And it may mean sometimes perhaps we experience failure. That might be what God will use in our life. I'll let Dr. R.A. Torrey tell the story as he told it in the Torrey Alexander meeting in Birmingham, England in 1905. When I was president of the Moody Bible Institute, I received a letter from a concerned pastor father who told me of a son who was causing himself and his family great trouble. His life was really mixed up, and the father felt that the only thing that could help would be if his son would be under the daily teaching of the Bible, as well as Christian fellowship with other young people. The son came, and at first it seemed hopeless. Never have I met someone with so many problems, particularly spiritual. He did, however, abide by the rules as he had promised. As I look back, I feel that this was the first step to his recovery. But each day as he came, he would reveal by his questions the turmoil and raging turbulence which was almost tearing him apart. Each day I would answer his questions with God's word. I felt that this would do more than all of the human reasoning I might be able to give. One day he came in with his face aglow like a rain on parched ground. God had answered our prayers for his needs. From that time on, he became an exemplary student. And today in our country, he is one of our fine Bible teachers. Be a vessel unto honor.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on The Potter's House. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.